All right, welcome to our midweek Bible study that brings us to the book of Ephesians in our midweek study now, going verse by verse. The series is entitled In Christ and all of what it means to be in Christ. First three chapters especially, we saw that term in Christ several times. And now the last three chapters of the book of Ephesians gives the practicality in living out our faith in Christ. We've covered the opening 16 verses, so we're going to pick it up in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, be with us tonight here, Lord, and give us understanding here of your word. And now the worthy warning here that we see to Christians with the example of the unsaved, those not in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue here in Ephesians 4 as we're receiving instruction on the worthy walk in all that it means to be in Christ. Walking worthily in Christ distinguishes us as Christians. Our walk ought to be a witness of the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Is your walk different from when you were lost? Before you got saved? Now, we who are no longer dead in trespasses and sins, we ought to be walking the revived life and not living after the flesh, but after the faith in our Lord. There's a vast difference between the walk of the saved and the unsaved that needs to be readily recognized in our walk and our talk. In our passage, Paul describes the characteristics of unbelievers. The behavior he describes should not characterize the life of a Christian. The way you behaved in the past before you were saved should not describe the way you live in the present. The example of the unbeliever is one that should not be followed by the believer in Christ. So let's take heed here to the worthy warning to Christians. The warning is of the sinner's condition. When you think about the sinner's condition, I want to point out number one, his intellect is darkened. Notice verse 17 and 18. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. We're reminded of the blindness of lost people. Certainly no enlightened Christian should let such ignorant people influence what he believes or how he behaves. We don't get our walking orders from the world, do we? But the world's constantly trying to tell us, you know, what we're to believe and how we're to behave and so forth. Notice the words that describe the heathen and humanistic thought of the unsaved. People who are outside of Christ simply cannot think straight on moral and spiritual issues. Notice verse 18, having the understanding darkened. They're darkened. Their understanding is darkened. They're not enlightened with the truth of the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Spirit indwelling them. They're not enlightened with the truth of the Word of God. Everybody can see that some things are wrong in society, but few can see clearly as to why it has gone wrong. And without that clear understanding that comes from knowing God, the prescriptions to fix what is going wrong isn't going to fix anything. Do you notice that in the world? The world acknowledges problems, but their prescriptions to fix it, we look at it and like, you're not even getting to the root cause of the issue. Not going to fix it. You know, they want what do politicians want to do? They just want to throw more money at it, right? Whose money? Our money, right? Well, we need more funding for this. More funding, more funding. Oh, look at the education. So test scores keep going down. And, oh, more problems in school. We just need more money for the schools. The problem is we're not paying the teachers enough. Is that really the problem? Maybe there's a root cause with the curriculum. Maybe there's a root cause that goes back to the 60s when the schools kicked out God. They said, no more prayer, no more Bible. Wanted nothing to do with God. But no, they just wanted, well, we need to pay the teachers more money. That will fix everything. Well, that's been going on for decades now, and the problem's getting worse. And then we got teachers sleeping with the kids today, right? Lawmakers and educators, they claim to love our children, yet they pass laws that allow the murder of children in abortion clinics. This is the insanity. They teach them immorality in sex ed classes and in public schools, and that leads to teenage pregnancy. Even though they claim they're trying to prevent things like that. You know, they want to give out condoms and contraceptives and all that. But it doesn't fix the problem. And now, why not just tell them to wait until they get married like the Bible teaches? But no, they're not going to teach abstinence. Now they want to protect our kids some more. They want to give young men who think they're women access to girls' restrooms, access to the girls' locker rooms and showers, and want to let them play in the girls' sports leagues. Do you think teenage girls and guys showering together is going to keep your daughters and granddaughters safe? That's what our politicians and educators believe. They pass these insane laws and institute these insane regulations and so forth in the school system. The unsaved man's wrong thinking is rooted in the absence of God from his life. Our world today possesses a great deal of knowledge, but very little wisdom. The lost walk in the vanity, notice verse 17, in the vanity of their mind. Man's thinking is alienated from God. It's vanity. He thinks up all kinds of false religions and false philosophies and boasts how right he is. Yet his views are shallow and just devoid of the truth. Psalm 94:11 tells us, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. The Lord says the thoughts of man and all these philosophies and religions and so forth, they're vanity, the Bible says. The understanding of the lost, verse 18 says, is darkened. Paul told the Corinthians, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. 2 Corinthians 4:4. They're blinded. Their understanding's darkened. That's Satan's cause and purpose, to blind men from the truth. The nonsense some men believe, it shows how darkened their understanding is. Christian scientists believe that death is not real. Talking about the religion, and that the pain and is an error of the mortal mind. I don't know. I feel pain. I don't think that's an error of my mind. Amen. I think that's a God-given feeling to tell me something's wrong. Mormons, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they believe that they can become gods. Hindus believe, depending on how you behave in this life, that you may come back as a cow, a crow, or a cockroach. Depends how you behave, right? By the way, the cow would be a great pinnacle of their religion, right? They got full dominion in India. The scientific community embraces the theory of evolution. The humanist thinks that man is essentially good and quite able to cope with moral problems. This is the warped, alienated, the darkened understanding of man and all that man comes up with. And the root is the absence of God. They don't know God. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 tells us, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Just giving a little history of man, Romans 1. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's mankind. So alienated from God. Everything is just vain, and their thoughts are vain. Their understanding is darkened. Lost people proclaim lies as truth. Immorality as morality. High-sounding nonsense as science. And philosophical speculations as religion. Their lack of understanding results of being alienated, verse 18, from the life of God. They're alienated. Their whole worldview is warped. The opposite of life is death. Men without God, they're alienated from the life of God. So these, whose intellect is darkened, alienated from the life of God, when we think about the life of God, the opposite of life is death. Men without God are spiritually dead. No wonder they're unable to think straight in matters of faith and morals. That's why the lost man so often comes up with things that are just so wildly illogical to the perspective of the saved man. When we get saved, we get the wisdom of God, and we start getting a worldview, biblical worldview, and we start seeing things of how they really are and from God's sight. And we start seeing the way the world operates today, it's mind-blowing, isn't it? The headlines every week. It's every single week in the world. It's just mind-blowing what's next. What they're coming up with, it blows you away, doesn't it? It just blows me away. We understand. The Bible explains it here. Their intellect is darkened. And now they it's so illogical. And, such as gender identity. That just blows me away. That one can't figure out their gender. That actually, when you're filling out applications now, instead of male and female, now they have other, undecided. Now some states are allowing on the birth certificate for the parents to not identify their newborn as male or female. It's mind-blowing. And the lost is recognizing up to 72 forms of gender. But Joe, I had to go to the computer and look them up. All these names, 72 different. Brother, you better get up with the times now. Don't you know there's 72 kinds of gender now? Where you been? It's mind-blowing, isn't it? It's mind-blowing. While the Bible states two, male and female. Ain't hard to figure out, amen? Ain't too hard to figure it out. But now the world recognizes up to 72 different genders. Unbelievable. Their understanding is darkened. When the world keeps calling evil good and good evil, the result is a godless, depraved society. We're living in it. Welcome to the United States of America 2022. Man was created to be inhabited by God. And God intended for the human spirit to be inhabited by the Holy Spirit. Remember, we are made spirit, soul, and body. From the beginning of God's design, from Adam and how it was with him, his human spirit was inhabited by the Holy Spirit. The indwelling Holy Spirit was to enlighten the intellect, to enable the emotions, and to energize the will. Thus, the life of man would express in human terms the life of God. The fall, though, ruined all that. The fall was sin. The fall of man, the fall of Adam, ruined everything. Sin entered in, and the Holy Spirit left. Without the life of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the natural man, the lost man, the unsaved man, is spiritually dead, alienated from the life of God. And have the life of God. He's dead spiritually. The blessing of the gospel is that when we accept Christ as Savior, then we're cleansed by his blood, and then we're regenerated by his spirit, regenerated, regened with the genes of God, amen? The Holy Spirit then takes up residence in the human spirit, making it possible for the saved person to then to have life with God. Then he has life with God, and then he has fellowship with God. Then he can, then as a saved, we can cooperate, we can yield to the Holy Spirit. We can begin to live the life that God intends for man to live, a life governed by the Spirit of God. Before a person receives Christ, he's adrift on life's stormy seas without a compass, no rudder, no anchor, and he's just adrift in life like a boat just tossed to and fro and the world just beating and beaten up and influencing and overpowering the lost man. He's subject to every wind of error that may blow into his life. And he's going to believe a lot of that. Amen? We've been there, amen? I've been there. The understanding of the unsaved people is darkened because they're cut off from the life of God, and as a result of the indwelling ignorance that is caused by the deep-seated inner blindness. Satan's desire to keep them blind. No wonder Christians should not walk as Gentiles walk. We must never copy the beliefs, the thought patterns, the convictions, if you call it that, or the conduct of the unsaved. We're not to copy that. The world's not who we're looking at, amen? We're not lifting up a lost man and looking at his example. No matter how successful he may be in some things in the world, we're lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one we're looking at, amen? He's the one we're patting and looking to become like, to increase. So not only is the lost sinner's intellect darkened, it gets worse. Number two, his inclinations are depraved. Notice Ephesians 4:19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Being past feeling. Just think of that term. You know, one that's numb, no feeling. You know, if you have one's hand or leg or something, it's past feeling, no life, and nothing there. Think of one who's just past feeling. His whole being becoming hardened. One without Christ has a heart that is hard, calloused, paralyzed by sin. Our wickedness certainly isn't going to draw us closer to the Lord. It tends to make one wander further from him and one become even more ingrained in his sin and more stubborn. Hebrews 3:13 warns of being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. How does sin harden a person? At first, shameful, sinful behavior may leave a person feeling guilty, convicted, and full of remorse. That's how it ought to be, amen? Shameful and you're guilty and remorseful. But if that sinner, however, if he doesn't turn from his way, if he does not truly repent from that, if he doesn't get victory, but if he persists in his wickedness, then it doesn't become so shameful. Then it doesn't become so guilty. Then he tends to excuse or justify his behavior, which in turn hardens his heart. You with me? Shameful in that sin. No longer shameful. Now the closet's open and now it's on parade and now the banner's flying. No longer ashamed. And now the heart is so hardened against God. Whatever the sin is, as a person rejects Jesus Christ, his heart gets harder, more insensitive, more indifferent, and more defiant to spiritual truth. A person can become so numb, who being past feeling, becomes so numb that he feels no shame for what he does, no shame for rejecting Christ. He doesn't care. The sinner gets to the point he just doesn't care. So some people, your witness, they just don't care. They're past feeling. They're so, have no shame of the way they're living, no shame of their unbelief. They're past feeling. They're so hardened. His conscience is seared. It's numb. Paul said in verse 19, he is past feeling. His problem is he's spiritually dead. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit no longer there. Some can become so hardened that they go as far as to boast and to publicly declare their wickedness without any shame at all. And that's where we're living today, isn't it? Man's proud of it. With social media, people commit some crime, and some people for kicks will go and beat up a homeless person, and the others are videoing it, and they post it online, and they have no shame about it. So sick. They're proud of what they've done. We're now reading of women who are bragging that they had an abortion. Women that are propping other women and putting them on a hero status because they had the courage to get an abortion. Man's intellect is darkened. Man's inclinations are depraved. With vulgar attire and behavior, sodomites parade through American cities, celebrating their perversion. They glory in their shame today. Man's inclinations are depraved. Isaiah 3:9 says, "The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves." There it is, the sin of sodomy, Isaiah 3:9. They declare their sin. They have no shame. God says they've rewarded evil unto themselves. That's what they're going to reap. The hardened sinner without Christ is given over to lasciviousness, which means uncontrolled, unbridled lust. To do whatever their flesh feels like. The person's out of control, without restraint, shameless, living in excessive wickedness. Lasciviousness. We see it displayed. It's on parade. Your past life of sensuality or unbridled lust, it certainly shouldn't characterize your present if you're a Christian. God says that you're to live a holy life, not an unholy life. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. The godless person has agreed for uncleanness that describes a lifestyle that's impure, filthy, immoral. Notice the end of verse 19, to work all uncleanness with greediness. There's a greed there. He just wants to live unclean more and more, like a greed, like someone would have a greed for money, wanting more money. The greed there is for uncleanness, just to live a filthy, immoral life. The unsaved person pursues this kind of living with an attitude of greed that describes a person that has an unquestionable, unquenchable lust and passion for whatever he desires. It involves an unlawful desire for things that belong to other people and they have no right to possess. Thus much of the immorality and the fornication and the adultery today. The person has a love of possessing things to a point that he's willing to take advantage and he'll sacrifice family or friends for his own desires because the person of greed looks at life from material means. Sell out his own mother to get what he wants. He'll rob from his own family to get what he wants. You think of the drug addict, don't you? Yeah. Perfect example today. Those who are past feeling, they work hard at their vileness. They hope to gain from it. And many do. In this world, they're ultimately going to gain evil. But people who run prostitution rings and sell drugs and enslave people, the human trafficking that goes on today. They're so greedy for gain without any care in how they're hurting others. They'll kidnap young girls and boys, sell them off into prostitution, and they have no care. They have no thought how they're hurting them. They have no care to help them. It's all that greedy gain that they want to get. When people have the philosophy, live for yourself, after a while, what ends up happening, some never get the satisfaction of that lust. And after a while, some don't want to live anymore. Because there's no real fulfillment. You know, you feed the lust and the flesh and you feed it, but well, it just becomes unfulfilling. Their lives are empty and meaningless and without purpose because they're so full of themselves. That's why some will turn to suicide. We're not to be led by our appetites and our greed. The greediness of impurity in our past ought not be our present. Christ has given us the power to say no to temptations and to live a victorious life in Him. These ungodly characteristics that mark the unsaved certainly should not describe us in Christ. Notice verses 20 and 21. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. The believer is a new creature in Christ, and he's not to live like a heathen. There's a change in the life of a person when Jesus comes into his life. The filth of the past ought to be rejected in your present. To learn Christ means you have a personal relationship with the Son of God, and so that you get to know Him better each day. You get to grow in Him and be strong in Him and live after His ways and following Him. And as you get to know the Savior and get closer to Him, then you become more like Him each day. The power of the Holy Spirit helps you to break the yoke of sinful bondage in your life. Isn't that a blessing? Amen? Isn't that blessing? Because such were some of you. But now you're washed. Now you're cleansed. Now you're in Christ. And now you've been changed. Now it's different. Life with Christ is a life of victory over the mental darkness and the moral depravity of the lost. Now you see the light. The Lord Jesus Christ now clarifies our thoughts. He cleanses our lives. He indwells our hearts. He quickens our conscience. He gives us a new life. And it's a life worth living. Amen? It's a fulfilling life. What a difference the truth of Jesus Christ makes. So Paul gives the example here in the negative of the unsaved, and then explaining and making known how their intellect is darkened, how their inclinations are depraved. And that's not what we're to learn. That's not how we're to pattern our lives. When we're in Christ, things are different. Remember the context here to the church of Ephesians. Remember what Ephesus was like. Ephesus, the home of the great temple of the goddess Diana. Great is Diana of the Ephesians, the people would cry out. And the godless, immoral, vain, false worship it was. Prostitution being a part of such a religion? Yes. He says, you're to have no part of that. And the reasons why people are living that way, they're darkened. But now you've learned Christ. Now you see the light. Now you have the Holy Spirit. Now you have the Word of God. And now things are different. I like the song, It's Different Now. Once I was lost in sin, I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how. But Jesus came to me, and by His grace I'm free. Now it's different now. Oh, so different now. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since Jesus made me whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. Now my hopes are bright. I praise Him day and night. How He could change me so, I know not how. But praise the Lord, it's done. The victory now is won. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. Thank you, Lord, for the difference that You make, the transforming that comes. And we who once were even, you know, were alienated and our understanding was darkened, we who once were enslaved by sin, and now when we're enlightened to the gospel and receiving Christ by faith, and how do we see things differently now? That our lives ought not be patterned by the world. That we don't allow the world to dictate our beliefs. We don't allow the world to dictate our behavior. We have a higher pattern. We have a higher example. You, the Lord Jesus Christ, from which we form our beliefs and for which we behave. We have a whole new worldview. Thank You, Lord, for that transforming. Thankful, Lord, that our lives can truly be distinguishable. Not that we're better than anyone else, but that we're saved, that we're in Christ. And we want to bring others with us in Christ. Thank You, Jesus, for the enlightening of Your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.